Well, we looked and we found a lot of things in Hebrews chapter 11. What is the whole point of this? God's people who follow Jesus are under the new covenant. The old covenant has a curse. The new covenant has all the blessing. And the principle that we live under in the old covenant begins with an L. What is that? Law. And if you don't keep the law, what happens? You get stoned. But the principle you live under as children of God in the new covenant is faith, love. Aren't you glad you're under the new covenant? That's why I don't like a lot of, here we go again. Where's Lee to say, there he goes again. Fundamentalist Christianity. You know why? Because they live under law. When you're to live under God's grace. And by the way, that means that you show grace to people. Amen. I don't like fundamentalists. You know why? They stick their nose up in the air because they think they're so holy and righteous. And you know why they stick their nose up in the air? Because their feet stink. You got it, Miles. You've been in Bible study. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says that in the tests of faith, God's people walk by faith. That's what we're learning. These Hebrew Christians in Hebrews were Jewish Christians. Well, they weren't Jewish anymore. There's neither Jew nor Gentile in the New Covenant. Did you know that? That's even wrong. A lot of bad teaching out there. And they were being persecuted. And the principle was in the New Covenant, you walk by faith. Boy, that's easy to say. Isn't that much harder to live? We've seen Abel. Cain and Abel. Didn't end well, did it? By the way, Abel was symbolic of God's people. What happened to God's people in the Old Testament? What happened to Abel? Enoch walked with God 300 years. How many of you are having trouble with the few years you've been walking? That's, you know, God took him. Noah! Wasn't that a strange story? You look at the Word of God and you actually preach the Word of God and you're going to find out that in the Word of God, some things are being ignored. You have Noah and the little bitty animals in the nice little ark, and little do you know that the sons of God came into the daughters of men and something weird went on. And what did Noah, what principle did Noah have to walk by? For 120 years he preached there was going to be rain. And you know the word now says there was no rain. They laughed at him. They mocked at him. Get used to it. Now we come to Abraham. Abraham. And I pause and say, how many of you like the name your parents gave you? Do you really? I can't stand it. My dad used to love to call me Junior. Because my first name really isn't David. I like David. But my first name, it's always been F. David. And I always flunk classes because the teachers say Farnell, David, F. And that's what I'd end up getting. My first name, matter of fact, let me just tell you something. If I was walking across the street and a truck was barreling down on me and you called me by my first name, I wouldn't even know who you were talking about. So my wife knows that, and she said after 30 years, she's going to, if that ever happens, she's yelling out my first name. By the way, now that you've thought about it, after 67 years, would you do it again? Okay, thank you. We saved that man's lunch this afternoon. My first name is Franklin. I hate that. It's harsh. Frank was always my dad. You would have liked my dad. it was always my dad. I got named something and then Junior. And he used to love to call me Junior. You ever seen some of the names that people give to people? I mean, it's almost like as if, don't you know that you have to grow up and live with that name for the rest of your life? Don't parents think about that? That's why my son Joshua is Joshua. I didn't want him to have to be, I don't know, what do you call him? What do you call him when they're the third? The third? Sounds like they couldn't make it in first or second, so they ended up being the third. You say, Dave, what in that wide world, you crazy preacher, does this have to do with Abraham? Well, I'm going to tell you. Do you know what the name Abram, first of all, his real name was Abram. Do you know what that meant? Some of you would, but be careful. It meant tall father. Or exalted father. We don't know if he was a tall man. How would they know at birth? You know, this is what he was, you know, like Saul was a short little Jewish. How do we know that? I mean, they don't know what the height of a person's going to be when they're a baby. I mean, look how tall John is in some of you. And when you were a baby, you were just a little baby. His name was Tall Father. What an irony. Because in the story of Abraham, you know what he wanted most of all, above everything else, what he wanted most of all was a child. And when they called his name, Abram, it was a horrible reminder that he didn't have any kids. Wouldn't you hate that name? Then when God met him, God ratcheted it up a little bit. John's looking at me like, that preacher's crazy. Yes, I am, because Abraham became his name that God gave him. Do you know what Abraham means? Father of a whole bunch. Now, how would you like to have a name like that? You hated the word Abram because that's tall father, exalted father. Your wife has called you that, and you can't have four children like the couple in the back. You can't have any, and then God says, I'll tell you what, Abraham, that's not the appropriate name for you. At 65 years of age, longer, almost as long as you two have been married, he changed his name to Father of Multitudes. So every time he got Abraham, Abraham, do you know how that would have haunted him? Today, infertility is absolutely, it's become a plague. People can't have, I know of couples that can't have children. I mean, some kids at school have tried to have kids and can't. And I know do you know the agony of couples that can't have kids? You know, today in our society, they abort kids. Have you heard about the babies that were found in this guy's refrigerator? Like 67 or 68 aborted fetuses in his refrigerator, in his freezer? That's what we think of kids today. And I'll tell you something. You know, in that society, what really made parents proud was their kids. In ancient Middle Eastern society, the more kids you had, the more the parents had the ability to raise crops, keep the animals. They had a quiver full, the Old Testament says. Today, what's the average family size now? Two? One and a half? As a matter of fact, China just got rid of the one-child policy. You know why? There are 60 million more men in China than women. For all of you single guys, It's going to be, don't go to China to find a wife. Find one and then bring, take her with you. Now the point is, first, that Abraham had a name that would have bugged the daylights out of him. Exalted Father, Father of multitudes! And he had no kids for 65 years with his wife. And he loved his wife. That's what he wanted more than anything. He wanted more than anything to have that child. And he couldn't. And God said to Abraham, leave everything to gain everything. Do you know what that's when you accept Jesus as your Savior? Jesus said, take up your and what? See, you leave everything in the new covenant to gain everything. Another thing we need to understand about Abraham was not, he was not Jewish. Steve would be mad at me, not Steve, but the other Steve, the Jewish Steve would be mad at me for that. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua 24, 2 and 3. Joshua 24, 2 and 3. Joshua 24, 2 and 3. And Joshua said to the people, thus saith the Lord. Boy, when you say that, you better listen up. The God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they what? Served what? Other gods. Next thing you need to be shocked is Abraham was a Gentile. He was a goy. You know what they use that term for us? That means cattle. See, that's what happens with God's people today. They get arrogant and then they start seeing sinners. And they start wishing God's fire from heaven down on sinners, when we need to be careful, because today the Jewish people who have forsaken the Messiah call anybody that's not Jewish, they call them cattle. They're not good enough. Abraham was an idolater. He was a Gentile. Sarah was a Gentile. That's why salvation and God's plan is so much more rich than the theology of men that try to make unbiblical distinctions in things. He was a Gentile. As a matter of fact, do you know where he was from? He was, where, Ron? Iraq and Kuwait. Is exactly where he was from. What do you think he looked like then? He didn't have blonde, blue eyes, I'll bet. Those come from Northern Europe. You know what blue eyes are? Let me be honest with you. I'm going to do it. I've always wanted blue eyes. My dad had blue eyes. I'm going to do it. I told my wife, got to get used to it. No, not contacts. Now they have a laser procedure where they can actually take brown eyes, and all brown eyes are, we have an extra layer over our blue eyes. And if you look, there's a laser procedure that will real quick, and you, in 2 weeks, all the brown is gone, and I will have what my dad had. I will have blue eyes. If I come in here and you say, who are you? Anybody can have them. All you need is a credit card. And a large, what do you call that, limit. And it's coming out. I keep checking the website. I'm going to have blue eyes. My wife says that she didn't like that idea, but who am I to listen anyway? So it's possible. He was Arabic. Can I use that term? He was most likely, we're guessing, but he was dark. Today you see pictures of Abraham. He sure looks like a Viking from Northern Europe, if you ask me. And God called him out of idolatry. And what is so sad is this. Abraham at that time was the only person that was sensitive to God. Can you imagine the millions that lived? The only other person besides Abraham that we know was sensitive to God was Melchizedek. Now I want that to you got to understand what that means. That means this. One person who will trust God can change a whole world. Did you know that? One person. By the way, let's think about Abraham. He was an idolater. I'm sure he attended Sol Invictus and Saturnalia and had all the parties. Do you think Abraham was just a real nice guy? I mean, they were wild in those regions. Don't look at him as a saint. And God appeared to him. Abraham! Oh, please don't call me that. That means exalted father and I can't have kids. Oh, so you want kids, God said. Tell you what, Abraham. Leave everything. And you will gain it all. In Genesis, Abraham had to leave it all. Let me tell you where he lived. By the way, do you notice he took his dad with him? We're going to talk about that. That's what family was before. You took care of family. He took care of his dad until his dad passed away. You take care of family. Nowadays, families in the U.S., it's mostly a precious single mother taking care of kids who can't put enough food on the table. Boy, back in those days, family took care of one another. And Abraham took care of his dad, and they traveled together. And God said this, leave your father. Leave it all. And follow me. And I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to leave it at this because we're all tired. We all got to come back. And I'm going to be on Abraham for just a little bit. But I want you to see what it says, something that will surprise you, I hope. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith. And that in Greek is one word. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, did what? He obeyed. He left everything. You know where he lived? It was the finest city in the Middle East of the time. The height of salvation. God said, leave your father. That was hard for Abraham because we know that he traveled with his father even after that until his father died in a city, and then he was completely alone. And look what it says in verse 8. To a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and when he went out, he did not know where he was going. Did you know that? You know where he got. Where'd he get? But he didn't know that. Can you imagine? Okay, Abraham, trust me. Now imagine, he was an idolater. His life was completely different, and God said to him, leave it all. Start journeying, living in a tent. He probably lived in a real nice home of that day. Take a tent, start traveling, and I'll tell you when you get there. That takes a lot of guts in that day. But I want to shock you. Not only did he not know where he was going, but I want to shock you because very few pay attention to the book of Hebrews. Very few pay attention. But look what it says in verse 13 when it talks about Abraham, Sarah, and all that they were promised. All these died in faith without having received what? Did you know that? Abraham didn't get his promises fulfilled. He's still waiting. You say, well, what? Wait, the Jewish people? No, that was to bring in the Messiah through whom the promises would come. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and what? Now, go to from verse 13 to verse 39 of Hebrews 11, and then I'll pick up on this more. Go to 39. And then look what it says. All these gained approval through their did not receive what was promised. Now, wait a second. You mean to tell me in all the history of the Bible, all the promises to Abraham have not been achieved? Nope. No Israelite, no any of them had the promises fulfilled. But look at the next verse. Because God had provided something better for... Who do you think the us is? Use your head. Use your thinking cap. Who's the us? It's not just us. It's, guess what? All of the men and women of the Old and the New Testament of faith together. He has planned something better for us all, so that apart from us, they should not be made what? Listen to me. Abraham ain't perfected right now. Do you know why? Because we aren't. The saints of the old and the saints of the new, until all of God's people are placed into the promise that God made to Abraham, it will not be fulfilled. The promises are for the saints in the old and the saints in the new. Until God has completed the roll call, these promises await till the last believer in God's plan has been called. You know why then Jesus hasn't returned? The us and the all haven't been accomplished yet. That's why there's a unity between the saints of the old and the saints of the new. Not a disunity, but a unity. Abraham can't obtain his promise from God until what? The very last believer in Jesus Christ has been born again. And then the promise is made to him. You know why? We're going to find out this next week. You're his kids. And we'll find that out next week.